At the Feast of Tabernacles, we talked a bit about sacrifices, and Scott gave a sermon on the offerings and talked about how much was going on there in terms of the amount of offerings that were commanded to come forward. And during the feast, there was these offerings, and he pointed out on the days there were to be offerings, and then on the Sabbath there was to be offerings, and on new moons and all these feast days there were to be extra offerings, not just the ones made daily, but in addition to that. And I want us to think a little bit today about how do we come before God and worship him, and what is it that he was really laying out for us in these sacrifices. So I'd like to begin by asking you to turn with me in the Bible to Hebrews chapter 8. So here as we pick up the subject today, starting here in Hebrews chapter 8, it says, now this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Okay, so not one that man made, but one that the Lord erected. Verse 3, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Now, I want you to think about this, because when we talk about worshiping God the way God laid it out at his tabernacle and at the temple and with the sacrifices, it is a copy and a shadow. Amen. That reality of God laying out a service. And if you look in the Bible, a lot of time is actually dedicated to talking about what happened at the tabernacle and at the temple and what happened with offerings and sacrifices and various washings and cleansings. And he said these are a copy and a shadow of those things. Verse 5, who served the copy and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. In other words, Moses didn't make this up. He received it from God. God revealed it to him. And what God was doing was revealing a copy and a shadow of what really goes on in heavenly places. That gives me goosebumps. It's like, that's awesome. So chapter 9, verse 23. So it says, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. That is, with animal sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So we have a great high priest who has entered into the true, and he is ushering us into this place, to the Holy of Holies. Now turn over with me to Leviticus, the book of Leviticus. Let's turn to chapter 1. You can see here on the PowerPoint, I have a slide here that shows you what the tabernacle looked like. So Moses was told exactly the pattern, how to place it. He was told the exact sizes and dimensions. God gave a lot of detail, even in terms of the color of things, the materials that were to be used, how it was to be constructed, what it was to look like. And he showed that there was this outer courtyard, and at the court and the door that was on the east, you would enter in and there would be a way in. You have the altar, the brazen altar, the altar where sacrifices were made, followed by the laver. And then you get into the actual sanctuary itself, where a lot of the furniture and equipment was. And then even when you went through there, there was another veil, and you had the Holy of Holies. So you had veils along the way that you went through and passed through on your way to the Holy of Holies. Now, according to the law, no person could go to the Holy of Holies except the high priest once a year. Our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus, is there, and he tells us to enter into the Holy of Holies with boldness. So all of this was a copy to show what was happening and the way things were. But what Christ did in the sacrifice of himself and God did in the sacrifice of Jesus was open up the way to worship. But what it was showing was, how do you go before God? Before you get to the Holy of Holies, you have to go through the sanctuary. Before you go into the sanctuary, you have to pass by the laver that cleanses. And before you get to that, you have to enter through a door. And the first thing you see is a place to make an offering. a sacrifice. So right there before you would approach, there would be a sacrifice. If we look at this just as a floor plan, you can see on the right, that's the east gate. As you would enter in, you see that brazen altar, then the laver made of bronze. You see that you could enter in the entrance there, and the priest would go in where there was a table of showbread, the lampstand, the golden altar of incense that, again, these are referred to throughout the scriptures. And then there was the veil into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of Covenant was, the mercy seat. So the whole point, as you kind of look at it, was there was a way to enter into the courtyard at the east gate that you would go and you had to pass through certain things, basically, to get to the Holy of Holies. Now, as we are being invited to come to the Holy of Holies by Jesus, and we look at this pattern, we should be, I think, interested to hear, well, then, what was God teaching us about the type and shadow of how to approach Him? How do we worship God? And so this reality that we have in the Melchizedek priesthood of Jesus Christ is shown to us in type in this priesthood that was coming through the tabernacle and through the offerings that were made. So we're going to start to dig into this a little bit today. I don't know that we'll get very far, but I want us to start to look at something and realize just this whole walk through the courtyard to the Holy of Holies. So when we look here in Leviticus chapter 1, it said the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him. This is verse 1 of Leviticus 1, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, to Yahweh, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar, that is, by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall cut the skin of the burnt offering and cut it in pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord." So he begins with an offering that is to take place right inside when you bring it to the door, to bring it, and the offering is made right there in the courtyard, not in the sanctuary, but outside there, there was to be an offering made. And it said if you wanted to do it, it was of your own free will. So then he goes on, if it's of the flocks, you can see that it is. And basically he would take the animal, it would kill the animal, and he would take it and cut it into pieces, and lay them in order. Verse 13, he would wash the entrails and legs, very similar. And then notice again, the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. So this is the first offering. It's a series of offerings that were made. There was first this burnt offering, and as we look through Leviticus, here we see there was the meal offering, there was the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. So there were these five offerings that would go on this altar. Now today what we're going to do is focus at least in part here on the burnt offering and just talk about what this is. Turn over with me to Leviticus chapter 6 and notice here in verse 9 it says, "Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. The priest shall put on his linen garment, in his linen trousers, he shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn it on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." Three times he says that there. Fire shall never go out on the offering of the burnt offering. And so that offering was a foundation for all the other offerings. They were all laid on top of that one. But that one was to be offered every morning and every evening, and the fire of it was never to go out. And all the other offerings that would follow would be laid on top of that burnt offering. But the burnt offering was the principal and foundational offering that was being made here. So I want us now to just kind of recap, because maybe you're saying, Liesenfeld, I'm lost. I have no idea what you're talking about or what any of this means. So just bear with me and let's think a little bit about what we've read. So here in the burnt offering, first, it says that you were to bring it of your own free will. So while it's a commanded thing to be done every morning and every evening, and while there were many commanded burnt offerings throughout the feast days and on the Sabbath day that were in addition to the daily offerings of in the morning and the evening, in addition, it was something that you were to do because you wanted to do it. Point number two, it was to be a male without blemish that was brought. Three, it was to make covering or reconciliation. In other words, it was as if this offering was completely covering you as you came to make it. It was a representation of you in the offering of itself. And we talked about how you would lay hands on it and it would make covering or reconciliation for you. Four, it was completely offered unto God. It said, burn it all. Nobody else ate of this. This was an offering that was to be burned up in its entirety. Offered each morning and evening. He says it's a sweet-smelling aroma. This is said throughout the scripture about this burnt offering. It's a sweet aroma to God. And the fire of it shall never go out. Now, we're going to look at this list, and we're going to think about this list as we move on through this sermon. But I want you just to kind of meditate on the points and realize this. It says in 2 Corinthians 3 that when we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed from our eyes in the reading of the Old Testament. When we read these verses, we should be having a deeper understanding about the approach to God and the worship of God that he laid out. These are God's rules. This is God's plan. This is what God is offering. And what we as Christians should be understanding and looking to, God, what's your heart on this? What is it that you're wanting us to see and understand about the burnt offering? So that's what we're going to look at now. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 8. One of the things you probably noticed in the list was that there are offerings that are called the sin offering and the trespass offering. The burnt, the grain, or the meal, and the peace offerings, it doesn't say that they were for sin. The sin offering was for sin. The trespass offering was for sin. But these offerings, these foundational things, well, it's kind of interesting that we'll take a look at that. But I just want you to take note that it didn't say it was for sin. It did say it was for covering, but it didn't say it was for sin. Notice here in Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. This is the time when Noah had come off the ark after the flood. And it says here in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, after he had been on the ark, he brought all the living creatures off the ark with him, every animal. And it said in verse 20 that Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So before we think about this as just something of the Levitical priesthood, before there was a Levitical priesthood, here is Noah making burnt offerings. How would he know there was such a thing as a burnt offering? The Lord, right? The Lord taught his servants things about his ways and shared with them his life well before it was memorialized in the law. So in Genesis 8:20 again, he made burnt offerings on the altar and the Lord smelled a soothing or sweet aroma. So just think about the reality of this. Noah was one righteous man with a family of eight that were saved through the flood. He brought on twos of unclean animals. He brought on seven pairs of clean animals. He took of the clean animals when he gets off after they had survived, and he offers them as a sacrifice. Isn't that interesting? You might be thinking, wow, you know, you don't have a lot of animals left. This, you know, like, are we sure we want to be killing them? But it said he took of every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered them as a burnt offering to the Lord. So what does that tell you about the heart and relationship that he's having with God in this. There wasn't a lot, but what he did was take of what was there, and he offered as a sacrifice. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma, and the Lord said in his heart, I love when you get to hear God's heart. He said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. God makes a covenant with himself. And his thought is, I'm never going to curse again the ground. I'm never going to curse again or destroy every living thing as I have just done. So God is revealing something of his heart. And the moment that he did this, the moment that he said in his heart, was when Noah got off and offered burnt offering to him. He offered a burnt offering and God smelled how good it was and said, even though they're this way, I'm never doing this again. So it's a very powerful and beautiful thing. Now turn over with me to Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, we have here the testing of Abraham when he was asked to give a sacrifice of his son Isaac. And pick it up here right at the beginning in verse 1. And notice here in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So here we see God saying, bring your son as a burnt offering. It was the son he loved. Would you agree, fathers, that your children, they are your possession. They are your most valued thing. See, when God was testing Abraham here, he was testing him with his son. And he says, bring him as a burnt offering. He didn't say bring him as a sin offering or as a trespass offering, but as a burnt offering. He was to bring him forth. Drop down now. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I encourage you to do that later. And Scott gave a sermon on this not that long ago, right? We get to that yet? Oh, okay. Well, then you got it. You see, you don't even need to read his wait. It's coming. All right. So Genesis 22, 8 to 9. Abraham said, my son, when Isaac asked him, he said, hey, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 7. Good question. Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. How beautiful that is. But all of this, and the phrase burnt offering is used throughout in what God had told Abraham to do, in what God had discussed with his son, in talking about the burnt offering, God will provide for the burnt offering. Do not harm him. I've provided for you for the burnt offering. This offering was something that he had asked Abraham to do. And my friends, I think he is asking all of us the same thing. See, the burnt offering is the first offering. It's the elementary thing that when you would come into the tabernacle, that was the primary first thing. It was the elementary thing to the worship of God that there would be a burnt offering that was brought of your own free will, that was completely offered unto God, that was a sweet-smelling aroma of which the fire never went out. There's a reality to what God was commanding to his children in showing us the service that there needed to be an offering of the best. See, when God was testing Abraham, and when he passed the test, and when he was willing to sacrifice his son, he says, verse 12, don't lay your hand on him or do anything, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. He took of the best that he had, and he willingly offered the son that God had blessed him with back to God. And what God is demonstrating in this burnt offering, if we are going to approach God, if we are going to go into the Holy of Holies, if we are going to be cleansed from sin, if we are going to offer up our prayers, what God wants first from us, ultimately, the very beginning of the sacrifice is, will you give yourself to me? Jesus said, he who would not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy to be my disciple. There is a wholeheartedness that God wants. He said, this burnt offering, it's completely burned up to me. And in our lives, the biggest thing, the challenge that we have in coming to the Almighty God, who we see not with our eyes, who we don't hear with our physical ears, who we don't lay hands on and touch, it is coming to a point of faith in who he is, to believe in the love that God has for us, to trust in who he is, that we would say, I give everything I have for you. I don't withhold from you. I do it of my own free will because of who you are, God, and because of my desire to be near. You have pulled me to this place, and what you command of me is to make an offering. And I give myself. God is looking for a people who are wholehearted to him. God is looking for a people to approach that begins with a relationship of covenant, of knowing who the God is behind the curtain, and saying, I want to know you more. It is coming to God and saying, I want this with you all the time. And what God is saying is, I never want the fire of that offering to go out. I always want there to be a fire on my altar burning. Now the thing is that with Abraham, God provided for him a ram to sacrifice. But when it came to the dealing with his own self in his own heart, God did not extend the same type of mercy to himself, but rather gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And when you and I understand this calling that the gospel calls to us, that we understand the nature of God's love, it's completely wholehearted. Amen. Amen. What more could God give? What better gift could he give than the son that he loves? And in the burnt offering, we are saying, I want to give to you as you have given to me. I want to give to you as you have given to me. As you have been wholehearted with me, God, I want to give everything I have back to you. It's not so much a matter of sin. It's a matter of this. Will you and I love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength? The essence of the burnt offering is knowing who God is and his heart toward us and saying, I want to give back to you as you have given to me. The heart of commitment, the heart of covenant by which you said, I will not destroy you. The heart that says that even though you are born wicked in your imaginations, I will not destroy. I will give life. And the means by which he did it of his own son, he's saying, accept it. Accept the life. And you realize that when we bring the burnt offering, who is the perfect, most glorious offering there is? Jesus. He's the one. He is the one, the sacrifice for us. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. The burnt offering is an imitation of God. It's an imitation of his wholeheartedness and his covenant love with us, by which he has been so good and so merciful, because he yearns for fellowship with his children. How do you have fellowship? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so ultimately we come before and he says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. You see, we are ushered into fellowship by God and by the goodness of God and by the grace of God. We come because he wants us to come, but we don't know what that means all the time. We don't know the next steps. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 10. I just love this verse. Exodus chapter 10. This is when Moses and Aaron are being asked by God. What did God say to tell the Pharaoh? He said, let my people go that they can go keep a feast. That's what he said. You know, of all the reasons, not because of hard bondage, let my people go so they can go keep a feast to me in the wilderness. So here is Moses talking with Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 24. Notice in Exodus 10, verse 24, the Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go and serve Yahweh, the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings. You must give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord Yahweh our God. And notice what he says. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take some of them to serve Yahweh our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. We don't even know. We don't know. But this is the wholeheartedness that is found in a worship of God with all of our being, where we must lay everything on the altar to him. There is no part of the burnt offering that is not burnt up, and there must be no part of our life that we say, uh-uh, that's for other people. Uh-uh, that's for me. No. The foundation of entering into a relationship with God, the foundation of entering into the true and holy worship of God, it is a giving of our whole self unto God. It's a giving of our whole self. Now you realize that this is the first step that we're walking through to the tabernacle, to the Holy of Holies. It's a giving of yourself. We don't always know what that means. And if you find any distress in what that means, don't worry. Give what you know of your whole self to God today. We don't always know what we're going to need to give up to serve God when we arrive somewhere else. But what we do know is that we must bring everything we have that we know of today. Not a hoof of our lives should be left behind. Nothing shouldn't be brought out to the Lord. The calling of these offerings in Leviticus is initiated with a love, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to God. And it is a giving of ourselves as Christ laid down himself for us, that we would come of our own free will and lay down ourselves. And see, the thing is, we come with all the imperfections. But what is so beautiful is that we can go to the one who is perfect. And he says, I'm the sweet smelling aroma. And so, just like in the offering, where the person who brought it would lay hands on the male without blemish, and they would be the covering for the person, that they would be the one that actually died for the person, so it is that Jesus gave up his life for us. He gave up everything. When you talk about one who had a glory, who was with God and was God, and who emptied himself of glory to come in the flesh, to be Emmanuel, he left everything behind, or you could say he cashed everything of who he was in to be for you and me the perfect sacrifice that we might come into fellowship with God. His sacrifice for sin was on a cross, but his sacrifice for fellowship for you and me began the moment he emptied himself. He emptied himself of his glory to bring glory to the Father and to see that in his dedication to God the Father, you and me would be lifted up. And the essence of what he began with that commitment to his Father and his Father's commitment to us to give of his Son demonstrates a love of the Father and the Son that we will never be able to compete with or even come to comprehend in the sense of this life that we can even understand. What was this? And we hope that we will have the power, as Paul prayed for in Ephesians, that we could search the length and the width and the breadth and the height of the love of God. But friends, right now, we're in it. We're seeing it in the wholeness of God's love. And we're just trying to begin to comprehend it. And as we come, he says, I'm the one to usher you in. I'm the one. And so there is a commitment that God is asking us to make. And I don't know what is going on in your life today. But what I do know is that for us to enter in as individuals and as a fellowship, we need to begin with a burnt offering. Everything else follows. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength first, everything else that is to be will be. But if that is not at the foundation of our worship of God, we'll go in all kinds of directions. We do it with our doctrine. Well, I won't believe the Bible because I like another idea. And so we won't submit. Well, I don't like to pray for those who despitefully use me and persecute me. I don't like to forgive those who have sinned against me. I don't like to love my enemies. And we can come up with all the things we don't like. But see, these are all the things that God says, no, you have to give it all up. But ultimately, if you looked at your most prized possessions, you would look at your children, your grandchildren. You would look at your spouse, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your friends. Maybe you would look at your business. You would look at your house, your car, your bank account, your retirement account. What do you hold dear? Do you have a reluctance to give that up to God? See, ultimately, everything, all I am, I need to give to God. And even if I don't know what all means yet, what my knowledge of all is today needs to be given to God. And that is the offering that we're to make. Now, here's the thing that's really cool about this. Sometimes I hear people say, I'm not good at praying, or I forget to pray, or it's not regular for me. God did something amazing in these offerings. He said, every morning and every evening, you should make a burnt offering. On the Sabbath day, you should make burnt offerings, and you should offer them on the Sabbath, but they should be in addition to your daily offering. And on the new moon, he says, make more offerings in addition to the daily. And on the feast days, he says, make more offerings in addition to the daily. And if it happens that the holy day or the Sabbath day of the week falls within a feast day, then you're going to offer what's for the daily and what's for the Sabbath and what's for the feast day. You never subtract anything. You just add to it on the special days that God has set aside and appointed. Now, I want you to think about this in terms of life, because we could say, well, can you worship God every day? Yes, you are actually commanded to. You're to bring a burnt offering every morning and every evening. And on the Sabbath, when you come, you should offer the daily, but offer additional offerings. There's an intensity and an addition to the fellowship and the wholehearted giving. Because what is this? What is this? What is going on in these offerings is that God is looking to be among his people. Turn with me over to the book of Exodus and notice this with me in Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 38. Notice what he says here. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. So this comes right out of the law regarding the burnt offerings. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With one lamb shall be a tenth of an ephah of flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil and one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with its grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. So the burnt offering is the beginning. Those other offerings get laid on top, but they're being done day by day and they're connected to each other. And we'll talk about that, God willing, another time. So they're laid together. But notice verse 42. It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. Hallelujah. Because what is it that God wants from us from the wholeheartedness? He's wanting a relationship. He's wanting our friendship. He's wanting us to be a part of his family. He's wanting us to make the commitment and the covenant to life. For as our Father has given us the spirit of adoption, so what he wants from us is the spirit of acceptance of adoption. He wants us to be his kids. And he wants us to humble ourselves and say, I'm yours, Dad. Forever and ever, glory be to you, Holy Father. You are forever. And what he's saying is, as I have given everything for you, you give everything for me. And we will share everything that God may be everything in everything. God be all in all for eternity. And this is the heart and life that God is wanting us. And that's why it's so foundational. Because if we don't have a wholeheartedness to God, we can't just keep moving on in life and going through the motions of things. And we're praying, but we're not wholehearted. We're doing things that are against God, but we're not wholehearted. We're asking for help. We're trying to be part of the church. We're trying to walk. But God is saying, how do you do that unless there's a continual burning fire in your life to be all for me? It's a wholeheartedness that God is looking for. That is why there's one great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. What is left? If you give him everything of your being, he says that's the first great commandment. And he demonstrates in the burnt offering the commandment. It's the essence of worship. Sacrifice is the essence of worship. Sacrifice is the essence of love. When you lay down your life, God so loved. How did he demonstrate it? By giving his only son. He made a sacrifice. He took of what he valued most and sacrificed it for you and me. What more could God give? And you see what he's saying to us? This is the heart of God. Let it be the heart of my children. Children, be imitators of our Father, that we would love as Christ loved and gave himself for us unto God as a sweet smelling sacrifice and offering to God. So he says here that I will come speak with you, verse 42, verse 43, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Friends, my prayer for this church is that the glory of the Lord would come upon us and be upon this church continually, that it would not only be a blessing to those of us who come here week by week to know the blessing of his spirit, but that whenever somebody comes through these doors, that what they receive, whether it is through us vessels of clay or just by the glory of the Lord being here, that they would know this is a place to come and meet with the Lord. Amen. And how do we do this? How is it sanctified? It's sanctified by his presence and by his glory. And what is he wanting us to bring forth? our whole selves. There's no point of playing church. Because God knows exactly what's in. And there's no point in holding back if you know and believe the love that God has for you. Why be afraid? Why fear letting all go to God? He is everything. This is a life without regret. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Whole life. And the burnt offering was a whole life given to God. And God said, don't ever let that fire go out. I want the fire burning all the time. You're going to offer in the morning. And you're going to offer in the evening. But the fire burns throughout the day. And the fire burns throughout the night. And then you come and make that offering in the morning. And you make that offering in the evening. And God be glorified throughout the day and in all our lives. I said, if you have trouble praying, look at this. Do you want to start your day until you've made a burnt offering? Because I'm going to ask you and challenge you, if you got a phone that has a little alarm, you set a time in the morning and you set a time in the evening and you come with your own free will to God and say, I want to make an offering to you. And what you do is you give your life as a dedication to God in Christ Jesus. He said, I will meet with the children of Israel at the tabernacle and they will be sanctified by my glory. Verse 44, I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. And they shall know that I am Yahweh, their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am Yahweh, their God. This church, Rock Valley Christian Church, should have a single, wholehearted mission to give our whole lives to God, that His glory, His power, and His presence be among us. And let it be known, there is one God for this church. There is one Lord who is over all, Jesus the Christ, who leads us to the Father of all fathers, Holy God, that we be wholeheartedly dedicated to Him, and everyone will know the glory of the Lord when we strip out and say, all for you. All for you. All for you. We should not be a people that says, I'm neglecting the burnt offerings. We should be a people that says, God, let us see the pattern of this. Let us follow the pattern He laid out for us. Let us hear Him saying, come and never let that fire go out and make these offerings. Okay, now we're going over to Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, and that's what I'm doing with you today. I'm beseeching. By the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, this is the daily service. The daily service begins with a burnt offering to present yourselves to the Lord. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The need to give ourselves to God. If you're struggling with finding time for prayer and you're saying, you know, there's days I just get up and I start my own work and I forget. I don't take time. I want you to look at these verses and let tomorrow morning be a different morning. Amen. I want you to hear God say, I want it offered in the morning and I want it offered in the evening. I want you to offer yourself. How do we do this? We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, for this is our reasonable service, that we will not this day be conformed to the world, but we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because we will be proving, Holy Father, what is your good and acceptable and perfect will. That is what God is looking for in His people, that we would come and make an offering of ourselves unto Him. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. So in the morning, renew the wholehearted commitment. Amen. And in the evening, renew the wholehearted commitment. God, I'm yours. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice, made holy and acceptable by Jesus Christ. This is my service to you, that I would give my life for you, that I would not be conformed to the world, but I would be transformed by the renewing of my mind, by proving what is your good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friends, this commitment, God says, you bring it in the morning and then just let it burn all day. And then as the fire might start to go out, bring it again and let the fire burn all night. God is wanting us to engage in an intimacy of fellowship based on covenant of our whole selves to him as he gave his whole self to us. And the thing is, this is what will lead us to pray every day. As we enter the sanctuary and we go to the altar of incense, that's where the prayers of the saints are being made. But if we don't have the wholehearted commitment to God first, well, then you might say, I never get to prayer. Because the covenant, the sacrifice, needs to come and it needs to be voluntary first. It's fundamental to our worship of God to make a commitment to God again. So notice what he says in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So what God is teaching in the copy and the shadow is there's a reality that we should be living in. Say, Jesus, as you are the perfect offering, I'm crucified with you. I am dead to myself. And this life that I live, I no longer live for myself or for this world. I live for you. So I present myself as a living sacrifice that day. Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Is that the way we judge? Because one died for all, we all died. In other words, my life's not my own. Every moment I'm alive right now is a miracle. Every moment that I'm alive is a miracle unto God, because he made me to be alive. See, when you know you're dead, when you really realize the wages of sin is death, I deserve death. Because what was in my heart was a transgression against God. His judgment on me was death. And then Jesus says, now that you see, let me save you. Let me take your place. Amen. And when we believe in Jesus, we pass from death to life. But now what? Woo! Yeah, I'm alive. I'm alive in Christ. I have eternal life. I pass from death to life. Today's a gift. I don't know when this flesh will fail me. I don't know the day that this will go away. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 years. I don't know when it is. But today, woo, I'm for God. Because he is the God of the universe who gave his life. And his love compels me. Love me back, David. And in your life, you should be saying, love me back, Scott. Right? Love me back, Brian. Love me back. We love because he first loved us. We have fellowship because he engaged with us. We are here because he's loved us. And sometimes it is so easy to go through the motions of this world and get conformed to the world, and we're like blind to how great this is. We have been given a tremendous gift of life. And he wants us to have a wholehearted passion for what he's given us and have a life that says, I'm for you, God. And what I do, I do. I am crucified with Christ, but I live. Not I. Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Every morning, every evening, and burning throughout the day. All the time for God. And this is the heart that God is asking us to give. So it means we've got to sometimes go back and say, am I seeing this? Am I seeing the love that God has? Do I really believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is so fundamental and so foundational to who God wants us to be. So verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died, all died. And he died for all. Why? That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Peter says, we've spent enough time living like the world. Make no more provision for the flesh. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. In whatever you do, when you go to work, give yourself to God. When you're with your family, give yourself to God. When you're out in your neighborhood, give yourself to God. In whatever way, give yourself to God and allow the sacrifice of Christ to have a fulfillment in our lives. That when you are around people, what they see is God. Why will they see God? Because they got near the temple of God, where his spirit is abiding and his glory is filling, and the glory of the Lord will be seen, because your life is not yours. And they see the glory of him who dwells within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Friends, this is how we are to be. But this begins with us believing the gospel, believing who we are, and understanding our lives are not our own. They're his. Everything for God. Let's finish here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. Isn't that awesome? In triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You sweet smelling aromas. God's like, woo, that's good. When you give your life to him and he's burning you up and you're living by the faith of the Son of God, God is loving it. Because the perfect one is in you and the perfect one is being diffused. You know, we all have these little oil diffusers, right? How many of you got an oil diffuser in your house? Yeah, I see you. Probably more of you are coming. It's all coming. You're diffusing oil. You're the diffuser. You are the diffuser for God to let the fragrance of God go out of your life. Read that again. For now, thanks be to God who leads us in the triumph of Christ. That is by faith, my friends. It is not a view of who we are. It is a view of who he is and his life in us. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. See how sweet, how beautiful, how wondrous. We are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Regardless, we are the ones. To the one, verse 16, we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. My friends, no matter who you run into, whether of those being saved or those who are perishing, we are called to be as a burnt offering and a sweet-smelling aroma to our God and Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and to everyone with whom we come into contact. Let's give ourselves to him. Friends, if you're here today and you're saying, I know I'm holding back, if you have never been baptized and been buried with Christ in baptism, if you don't even know what that means, and to live by the Holy Spirit, and you're saying, I need this life, I would ask that you would come up and sit here in these front row seats and allow us to pray with you after the service today and to counsel with you and talk to you about the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the life that can be given. Don't hold back. Why not let today be the day that things become new and our lives be more fully given to God, that we don't leave anything off the altar, but it all gets burned on there continually to Him. All glory to God, all praise to our Father and to His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us many blessings. May His blessing be upon you, and let's worship Him.